Just in opening, I just want to again recognize that Trina and I are commended by you all here in this assembly, and so it is our privilege to be with you over the past number of weeks. We are planning to return, Lord willing, next Sunday, and it has been our privilege to be with you again this time while we're here in Canada. I just want to read two verses. There are two verses that are written there on the screen behind me, but just in opening this morning, Philippians chapter 2, please, and verse 3. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And again, another verse in the book of Psalms, 127. Psalm 127. There we would read these words: "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain which build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And I have chosen these verses today in opening just to consider the fact that there is much that I need to learn, much that we all need to learn as we consider the things of God and what he has done. Because I would recognize, and I would think I would speak on behalf of everyone, that really, when we think of the things of God, none of us would desire to work, to labor, to expend our life in something that would be empty, in a matter of emptiness, where life has been occupied with something of uselessness, where life has been occupied with emptiness, and with things that does not satisfy God. Because I know none of us would say that we're living for our own pleasure. And yet we must recognize there are times when God allows us to take our own path. And we can become self-occupied and self-sufficient. And that's why we read in, part of the reason why I read there in Philippians chapter 2, to recognize that it's God working. And he's working for his pleasure. Working not for mine and for yours or for my families or your families, whatever the situation may be, we have to recognize it is for his pleasure. And I think that's going to change my perspective, and it should change yours as well. These are lessons to keep learning. God working for his own satisfaction. And for ourselves, knowing that it's only going to be that which is done for him and his will. It's going to last. It's going to be a benefit for others. What then is my responsibility? Simply to acknowledge his work. Simply to acknowledge him and what our God is doing. To acknowledge our place within his will and to recognize that it's necessary to keep on in our dependence upon himself. As the scriptures teach us, we are laborers together with him. And so it's just that understanding, that moment. Brother Steve was thinking about moments this morning. A moment when the understanding would dawn upon my mind, would dawn upon your mind, that God is willing to use me. God is willing to use each one. He's using me for his pleasure, not mine. He's going to be working in me. Why? So the results are going to be for his pleasure. It's going to be something that's lasting, something that is eternal. To recognize the result that he is building, not me. And so I trust as we try to speak a little of St. Lucia and update a little bit of last number of years of our life there and what God is doing, we'll keep this in mind. For his pleasure, desire that there would be something of the Lord building, everything of the Lord building, and not of ourselves. Now, I know some of you have been looking at that nice, beautiful water. I thought it would be a nice picture when you think of the snow outside, and you can maybe get a little warmed up as you think of the beautiful picture there before you. And so just, again, for those that have looked at a map recently, if you are wondering where we are, that is St. Lucia and Winnipeg and the islands around us. We are thankful that some of the Canadian airlines I've resumed flying, and so in the will of the Lord, we'll be able to take WestJet and fly to Toronto and then back down to St. Lucia next Sunday. I know I've shown some of these pictures before, just again to remind us of some things and perhaps to bring out some new stories along the way. In relation to ourselves, we continue to live in the apartment there that we've shown before, just north of the capital city of Castries. We do have some straight stretches of roads that you'll see on the right-hand side, but life is a little more typical, like what you see there on the bottom picture with some of the hairpins, and you can't quite see the elevation there as well, but the reason the hairpin is there is just because of the ups and downs and the steepness of the road, and so that is a little bit of what life is like on the roads. That's a small town on the south of the island. Again, in relation to the assemblies, we don't want to recognize that in moving to St. Lucia, we enter into the privilege of entering work that has gone before us. And so there is a gospel history that we need to be thankful for, and testimony of God, testimonies for God that have been established in years past. And we do pray that these would shine brightly and thrive until our Lord returns. For ourselves, we would mainly be among the assemblies of the north of the island, Castries, Laguerre, Ciceron, and Forestière. Not as typical for us to be with the assemblies in the south, just due to the work in the north, and also just the time to be able to drive to those assemblies below. We ask for your prayer on behalf of these assemblies, for the saints, for the shepherds in these assemblies as they seek to guide and to care for the flock of God, that there is much to pray for, as we know for ourselves in every assembly, every individual, we must pray for each. If we're going to think of our life for the last little while, and you were going to ask us how we were to summarize it or think of it, it would be in these three ways. There is that which we have sought to do in building into the assemblies on the previous slide. As well, there is the necessity of working out in the gospel, recognizing that when the Lord said to go, we need to go. And for us, the uttermost part of the world might just be the village and the town and the person that is next door to us, but a necessity of working out with and in the gospel. And again, thirdly, just specific times more recently in the past year and a half or so in relation to teaching of young believers, and the necessity that there is going to be the consistent and the consecutive and the systematic teaching of the Word of God, that there might be that which is grasped of God's truth and God's Word, and there's going to be, we trust, testimony and a willingness to bow to God's Word and a willingness to continue in considering Him and recognizing that He is working for His own pleasure, that He is building, and He is building His own, and we are just simply working for His pleasure. And so in relation to some of these things, we think of the assembly in Ciceron. I know I've shown this picture before. We continue to be there among these believers, very few in fellowship, and there is responsibility for each. And we do trust that there was going to be those saved and willing to learn the Word of God, that they might continue. There's a lot of responsibility for each. Meetings during the week on Sunday, two meetings a week, Tuesday and Friday, with the prayer and ministry meeting and a Bible study. And so we ask for your prayers as the necessity of preparation and the amount of preparation that continues at this time. There's also the need for visiting. There are those that need to be comforted. There are those that need to be assisted. There are those that need to be encouraged. And that is all part of what it is to build into local assembly testimonies. In case you're wondering if that's all I do, there's also repairs. And so there's times when you spend time painting. The humidity and the heat does a good job on the paint. And so there's times it needs to be restripped and repainted. Sometimes there's plumbing. It needs to be repaired. And so those are days and hours that you spend just seeking to help out in any way that you can. Like everywhere, there's been restrictions and changes because of COVID. I think earlier this year in January, I gave a little report on Zoom, and we were in the middle of gospel meetings, online gospel meetings. It had been over a year in the Ciceron Assembly since we've had a series of gospel meetings, and that was just too long in the eyes of ourselves and particularly in the eyes of the Assembly and being of testimony to others. And so, though not as we would desire, not as we all would desire. We chose to have the meetings online, and we're thankful for those that listened over the number of weeks that were there. As well, we were able to have a YouTube channel and put the messages up on that, and it's something that we're praying about perhaps in the future to use a little more more extensively, but just no time as yet to be able to work on that potential as it's there. Because of restrictions, we often had curfews. There was a necessity to change our meeting times. And so here we had an evening curfew on Sunday at, I think it was 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. And so rather than just canceling the gospel meeting, which would have been very easy to do, the believers decided to come together in the afternoon for an open-air meeting. And you can see the loudspeaker out there blaring out, and a few of us just sitting out in front of the building, speaking to those that would pass by, and we're thankful for those that did stop. As well, you can't quite see it in this picture, but just down the hill a little bit, there's an older woman that would open the wooden shutters of her home and just stand in the doorway or in the window of her home and listen to the gospel message. I've never seen her come to the gospel meeting, and yet there for the number of weeks that we were required to do that, she listened to the word of God. And so we'd be thankful for the testimony and just seeking in any way possible. Yes, we know there's restrictions, but I encourage my own heart and each one of our hearts today, let us not grow weary and let us move forward as it is to build up and to work out in these things. And so we recognize as well that there are times when there are funerals. You're thinking of funerals this past week, and it's no different in St. Lucia. And there are times when believers pass into the presence of God. The top picture there is our brother Ronald Henry, a man with very interesting story of his life, saved for many, many years ago, and a great testimony in the little area where he lived. We laid him to rest there in the little cemetery there on Shock Beach. There in the picture on the bottom is the funeral of an older woman, Ma Paul, from the Soufre Assembly. And again, there are times just of seeking to come alongside and recognize the necessity of being able to grieve and to seek to comfort those that are grieving. Just coming back to the assemblies there for a moment, we would also continue to be with the assemblies in Laguerre and Forest Air during the week for their Bible studies, seeking to help and to teach just a few brethren in each of the assemblies. And so the necessity then of preparation, the necessity of seeking to have the Bible study to be a profitable time of teaching for all, those younger, the sisters and the brethren as well. And so those assembly meetings make up a full week for us in relation to building into the assemblies. And so you ask then, in relation to this portion of the work that we are involved in, it is simply seeking to come alongside, recognizing there is a sharing in the responsibility of things of this life and the things of the assembly, seeking to strengthen what is there, and above all to pray that the Lord is going to save, the Lord is going to work as only He can, working according to His good pleasure. It is sharing in the series of gospel meetings that they might have, praying God will raise up men and women for His honor, for His glory. Recognizing, of course, that it nests the Lord, build the house. I'll change it for a moment. You allow the paraphrase. We labor in vain. And so there is a necessity of working with the assemblies that are there. Secondly, though, we recognize the need of working out with the gospel. There is much that we could be occupied with, really every day of the week in relation to the assemblies. We do feel the burden of moving forth into other towns and villages that are there. This is the town of Anse-l'Arais. You will have recognized the name and maybe some of the pictures of it. The little picture there on the bottom is just a nice view of the bay. It's not mine. It's a drone picture from someone else that I borrowed for a picture. It just gives you an idea of the little town. You come down the one side into the town, go through the town, and you go back the other side. That's really the town, a few thousand people, a few homes there. The fishing village, as you mentioned before, the necessity of just reaching out in the gospel. There are times when in the past we have worked with children's meetings, These, of course, had to have been shut down, unfortunately, because of COVID and restrictions among schools. But we're thankful for those that came, whether in a large group setting like this, or whether in smaller classes in relation to boys and girls that were split up between Trina and myself. We're thankful for those that heard, those that listened, those that we trust will remember the Word of God. More recently, though, in relation to the work in Ancillary and the sending forth of the gospel, it's being among individuals. In this number of slides, I've thought of the different individuals that we interact with on a weekly basis or whoever we can find them. Here is a man named Ivan. There in the top picture is the first day I met Ivan. It was last year about this time. I was giving out calendars. There you can see a calendar he's holding. He was helping the man in the background named Brody, build a home. And he was quite thrilled to receive a calendar. I took the picture, though, because he wanted to be in the calendar for this year. And that was his desire. I didn't pass it on. Well, I did pass it on to the folks at IBH, just more in jest than anything else. A number of months later, I was in the town again, and he found me near the town square. We started to chat. It started to rain, so we went under a little shelter. And then he wanted me to come back to his home. He wanted to be able to open his New Testament in Patois, the Creole, the local language. And so we went back to his home, and as we were walking there, he said, "You're not afraid of me, are you?" And of course, I answered no, but I wondered why. Why is he asking me that question as to whether or not I would be afraid to come with him to his home? Anyway, we had no incident, and you can just see there the little home that he's in. He cleared off a spot for me to sit down. He got out his English New Testament, got out his Creole or his Patois New Testament. He wanted to speak about the resurrection. And we turned to Mark chapter 16. It's read through the first four or five verses. In relation to the wonder of the resurrection, what it was to come on the first day of the week, those women to the empty tomb. And he just kind of went back and forth between the English and the Patois. He wanted to hear it himself as he read it there that day. And so you think of the privilege about it is to simply open the Word of God with individual. God working in only the way he can. And just a funny note to that story. Homes are, as you could see by the picture in the previous slide, homes are jam-packed together. And as I'm sitting in that little home, there's a woman next door doing her laundry, her washing. She's singing a gospel hymn. And just singing along, I just felt a little weird at first, a little strange. You're sitting there in a little home, and right next door there's a woman singing of the blood of Jesus. And it kind of gave me a little bit of a shiver, because you think of what it is, just to have the privilege of being used by God, to hear, to have the Bible opened, and to present the Word of God to others. And so you can remember Ivan. I do not know necessarily where he stands in relation to God's salvation. If you think of that picture there of the home on the upper side there, and this next picture, it's been finished, been expanded, and it's been painted. That's a home of Brody. I took the picture, though, really because of you can't really see it. That's why I blew it up on the right-hand side there. It's a seed sower's text that I've given to him a while back, and he's posted it on the gate of his home. I also took the picture there because you can see that it was this past year, it was elections, and the man named Dominic Fetti was obviously his person that he was seeking to support. Well, I'm glad to say the election is over and the signs are down, but the word of the Lord still stands, and the John 3:16 is still there on the gate. For him, this man, Brody, in the blue home there, the man that he was wanting to win lost. And I saw him a few days after the election, and he was just sitting on the edge of the road, and I asked him how he was. He just said, "I lost. I lost." And politics are very deep-seated in St. Lucia, a lot of emotions to politics. I thought, here, how sad. Here's a man who was so down, the person he supported. And yet to have still the recognition, again, not sure where Brody would stand in relation to God's salvation. but to recognize the truth of John 3 and 16. God so loved the world, and so he can pray for his individuals. In the town of Anseray, there's a town clerk at the town office. Her name is Sandra. I believe she would be a saved woman. She often stops me whenever I'm passing through and wants to take a number of whatever I have to put on the counter of the town council if anyone to come in. And one day I passed through, this is on the main street, and there on the blackboard, you can see the verse that was written up there on the board. So I went in and spoke to her, and she asked me if I liked it, and so of course I did. And here it ends up being the verse on the calendar for that month. And she had, rather than putting any town announcements that day, that week, she had gone over and written the verse there on the blackboard. And so again, you say, well, it is God working, right? I wouldn't be the one to take the colored chalk and go beside the pretty hot dog stand and write the verse. But she did. And so for anybody who passed through, there's only one road that would pass from north to south on that part of the island. Everyone who would pass by would see the verse, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Reminds us of the verse, does it not? Cast your bread upon the waters. And so we trust again, working out with the gospel, opportunities to hear and for others to hear of God's salvation. This slide takes a little explanation. I had obviously given this verse, it's a John 14, 6, to this man in the white shirt, named Junior. And he wanted to speak one day, just a little bit ago before we came, and his question was, what is God like? And he was asking it from the background of the various organizations that would also be in the town with images and with pictures, and he didn't really like the fact that someone had made a image or a picture of what God was like. And that's where we have to recognize the truth of God. We aren't given the description of what Christ is like, but God has given to us much of his character, and so we tried to change the conversation and actually had a great conversation with this man. Not often for a Rastafarian that you would be able to have a decent conversation in relation to the things of Scripture with him. But the reason, though, I took this picture really was because his trade, his course of his business really is there in his box. He would sell cigarettes and other things as well, other drugs out of his little box there. And yet, there it is. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only been just a few months, or just before we came, I was able to take a picture. And yet I've seen that for almost a year now, year and a half. And so here's a man. He would sell cigarettes while I was talking to him, but he wouldn't sell drugs while I was talking to him. And yet that box has been there, sitting on the little step on the where he just is there on Main Street in the little town. Everybody who walks by, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, yes, I'm not there every day. Only there just for a morning or afternoon on Wednesday each week. We're thankful again for the Word of God. And we pray for these individuals, that it would not just be something that's tucked into the box, that just sits there. But again, the opportunity for the Word of God to be used for the salvation of many souls. You may ask me, what is my day like in relation to going to Anseray? Pardon me. And so typically on a Wednesday, if you want to add it to your prayers, that would be appreciated. On a Wednesday, I would go down by myself normally and just leave in the morning and seek to interact with anybody that I find. There are numbers of people that I seek to find, some of the ones that I mentioned already. But again, it is whether they are there. Some are fishermen, some haven't come back yet from fishing. And so it's interacting with those that are around. This picture here is of a home, a woman named Joanna. I had spoken with her in the village a number of months before and couldn't find her. And the reason I couldn't find her was this. And so you drive down the road, and it's at the end of a long mile-long road. And so you park your vehicle and you seek to find her. And then when you come up, you recognize that the path to her road is just that. Obviously, there's no addresses, no numbers to be able to come to reach. And so you start climbing the hill, and you pass by a few homes, a few dogs, hopefully they're tied up, and you come to her home there at the top of the hill. A woman who we trust would be saved. Not knowing much of her life, not knowing much of what she has heard, and yet willing to listen to God's word, willing to listen to the truth of what it is for Christ to die upon the cross. And so when you go, you simply park your vehicle and you walk up the hill, and you interact and you spend as long as the person wants to spend there. Sometimes it's 10, 15 minutes, sometimes over half an hour, an hour. You open the word of God and you seek to present Christ in all of his glory and all of his beauty. On this particular day, she wanted me to come in because she wanted me to see her son. And I'm no medical person, and most of those things turn my stomach. But she took me into the back of her home, and her teenage son was there under a mosquito net, and he had some infection in his ankle. And yeah, it didn't look nice. It didn't look good at all, actually. And yet the Lord gives strength, and she wanted me to pray for him. And so you do. Before you do that, though, you open the Word of God. And thankfully, a few of the other family members gathered together there in the back room of the old home. And you can try to recognize and not minimize the physical needs that are there, and yet seek to remember that there are spiritual needs that are far greater. Spiritual needs that are really, of course, heaven and hell and life and death. And so we trust that there has been the opportunity to present Christ to these individuals. And then you make your way down the hill again, and you just move along to the next place. There's going to be those that you're going to visit. And in the town, there's her daughter and her grandchildren. And the same day, you go by her home, and the children are home. They're off school that day. And so you give them a little gospel tract. And you recognize, though they're only maybe 6 or 7, the older boy maybe 10 years old, they have difficulty reading. And so when you give them the tract, you're going to just stand there, and you're going to be with them. And you can think of just a regular small tract. It's not that long, one side, two-sided. And yet it took us about half an hour to work through that tract, word by word, phrase by phrase, paragraph by paragraph, word of God, the verse by verse. Just an opportunity to present Christ again, working out with the gospel, recognizing that there are souls to be saved. And these little children, ones older, needing to hear God's word, and recognizing sometimes, maybe take it for granted, just the fact that we have the ability to quickly read something or quickly read or scan through something. And here are these ones who were, I think, reading some of God's word for the very first time. Certain verses, at least, from God's word. And we trust that it's going to be of benefit. It's going to be going to recognize the truth of God. They're going to be attracted to the Savior of sinners. And they're going to recognize the need of having their souls saved for eternity. And so you pass by and you come to this home and you recognize a person that has got that probably gangrene or something on their leg. You come by and you spend half an hour with children who may have difficulty of reading there. And you're going to pass by and you come into the town, and there was another Rastafarian, and he wanted to stop me, and he wanted to discuss whether or not John the Baptist wanted to die. Or did he not want to die? Or was he willing to die? Or, and so you recognize there's all kinds of questions that you get asked. And so you take again to listen, and you hear people, and you move on, you try to bring the conversation around to recognize the truth of God. And it's just some of the random conversations that you're going to find when you spend a day there. Coming along a little further, I was giving out the Via magazines that day, and there were some individuals, some men that were already well into their alcohol, and they stopped me, and I just was going to pass on the Via magazine to them and keep on my way. They asked me to stop, and of course I have my Bible and I'm carrying it with me, And the one man said, well, read something from the Bible for me. So as I'm turning to a passage I was choosing, he said, no, I want you to turn to Psalm 121. Okay, sure. So I start reading out loud, and the man in his half state of soberness, he starts to quote the psalm along with me. That's not a very long psalm, and you may say, well, that's fine. Almost word for word, missed a few words here and there. We finished the psalm, we spoke about it for a few moments. He said, how about another one? Go to Psalm 92. That's a longer psalm. I don't think any of us here would, off the top of our head, know the content of Psalm 92. If you do know, tell me, you can tell me afterward. And so I started to read that one. You probably got that 80%, word for word, all the way through. It's the Word of God. And at the end of it, I was going to leave. And then sadly, and it may be a bit funny, he held up the Via magazine and he said, I'm not quite in the state to read this now. He said, but I'll read it a little bit later when I sober up. It's the Word of God, is it not? And be thankful for those who are going to read it. Just the interaction of people that you see and you're with. You're going to find children on the street, that those who have come to the children's meetings, and they're hearing God's word and they're singing some of the choruses. Again, we know that it's God who works. He works for his own pleasure. We must move along. Again, the distribution of literature. The man named Anselm there, he lost already 1 foot below the knee because of diabetes. Just a few months ago, he lost a second foot below the knee, again because of diabetes. That yet, a very cheerful man. Just he is saved, yet not knowing the certainty of God's salvation. And so each week I visit him in his home and seek to bring the word of God to him. Older woman there in the bottom picture. Again, I forget her name at this moment. But whenever I'm in the town, she'll call me to get her tract or Via magazine, even to the point that if I miss her, she'll send someone or a child to find me and say, you missed me. And I'll backtrack my way to pass something along to her. Again, very, very hard to have a conversation with her, not really willing to speak much. And yet she'll say she puts up all the stuff on the walls of her bedroom and reads everything. We must leave it with the Lord. Again, Via magazine, just again for those involved in the Via. Here's a fisherman's boat. Yes, the part of the top of the page has been torn a bit, but it's there. And the fisherman no doubt is going to take it and read it again when he comes back to his work later on. Individuals interact with, both myself and Trina as well, in the town. I took the picture there in the top picture. It's a man named Mark. He probably can't tell very much, but he's reading Via magazine and has Derek's testimony. When Derek was down visiting a few years ago, he met Mark. And so Mark was happy to read something of him. Again, you can't quite tell, but he's smoking some marijuana there at the time. So you can remember these individuals as they read God's word and hear of God's salvation. One thing that I know our brother Steve Parker would enjoy in St. Lucia is all the clean vehicles. I must say, Steve, I don't keep it as clean as I should, but here's an opportunity. It's a little town named Roseau in between where we live and Anseleray. And I stopped in. It's on my mind for quite a while. And I stopped in. The little car wash was there at the entrance, and so I pulled in and created a bit of a stir, getting the vehicle cleaned up, and yet took the opportunity, the half hour or so, to walk around and to pass out any texts or vibe that we had, and a few conversations with individuals. And we trust to return again with calendars next month when we return back. And so again, it's just using any opportunity that we have. I'm sorry to say it probably was 3.5 years before I stopped in that town, even though I passed by that little town and thought about it. And so again, it's just a matter of recognizing the burden of God and the claim of God upon our lives, the need of working out with and in the gospel. Speaking of those calendars, the IBH calendars, which are known to many, we were able to print 5,000 of them this year in St. Lucia, and that was the company there that printed it for us, kind of interesting, called The Voice. I thought of John the Baptist when we were preaching, when we were getting them printed. I don't think that's where it came from, but just an interesting connection. One thing we're thankful for is just the ability to put all the contact information there of the assemblies, individuals, so that wherever they're passed out, wherever they're taken, there's the opportunity for contact with believers and to hear of God's salvation. And so in this area of our work, we pray for the seed sown. Pray for the word of God that goes forth. Know the variety of ways, whether it is in gospel preaching publicly, scattering the seed, in conversations privately, it's going to be the recognition of the work of God. God will save for his honor and for his glory. Again, time is going, just moving on quickly there. The third thing that we have been involved in more recently, just working among younger believers. Whether in our home, Katrina, with individuals, whether with younger women, and a lot of the people that we have, that God has put upon our hearts and our hands recently, are younger women. And so the necessity and the work that Trina has, the burden that she has in working with these ones, desiring that they would learn and that they would grow. It's heavy upon her heart, heavy involvement for her. There's a picture here of a Saturday Bible classes that we had. Just the consistency of it. Again, it's not us. Recognize that. It's God that works. You know, over the past 14 months or so, there's been 30 Saturdays. I don't keep track. I just kept track of it for your information. 5 or 6 weeks in a row, a few weeks off, and 5 or 6 weeks in a row again. Opening the Word of God, bringing before individuals the truth of God's salvation and the Word. Going through character studies, working through a book, recognizing what it is to teach on what it means to live as a Christian. Going through into other subjects and looking at the parables of Matthew 13 and trying to explain a little of the kingdom of God and where we fit in ourselves and recognizing the plan and the purposes of God for his people. And so the necessity of teaching. The five individuals that you see there in that picture would be really the only ones, maybe a few more, 5 or 6, 7 at most, that would be in that age group of 15 to 25 among the four assemblies in the north of the island. And so the recognition of the need to pray, the recognition of what it's going to be for local assembly testimony for God to continue. It's going to need to be the willingness to hear God's word, to understand its truths, to appreciate it for ourselves, and to be able to pass it on and to teach it to others. Here, the picture on the left-hand side is of Tabitha, baptized a number of years ago. On the right-hand side, her friend Danila, who was saved and baptized in March of this year. I just put the two pictures together because they're friends, and the recognition of the joy of being a link in the, not us, of course, I'm thinking of Tabitha, the link of being used by God in the salvation of another. And trust me, know what that is. The willingness to be used by God, the joy of being used by God. Maybe we won't see the result. And yet here God has granted to her that she's seen the result of some of her labors. God's salvation moving in there and saving another. And so for Danila, there's her baptism. The bottom picture is her at our home for studies. Following my surgery last year, Tabitha asked me to help out in teaching and in just bringing the word of God to Danila. And that started 8 months of every Monday night. From November of last year, 8 months forward, every Monday evening, going through the truth of God, what it means to be saved, what it means to have life. Here's a woman who knows nothing, absolutely nothing of the truth of God. You asked her to find something in the Bible, she wouldn't know it. Never been to a gospel meeting and hardly knows much of the gospel. God has saved her. And she's learning and desiring to learn and wanting to grow, desiring to be baptized. And you see there, we're thankful for her desire. Recognizing the truth of God. That picture there at the bottom, as we are just sitting outside in our home. We've gone through some truths months before in relation to the death of Christ. Not a bone of him shall be broken. We are coming again and we're working through some things in relation to the Lord's Supper and going back to the Passover Supper for some pictures. We come to those words there in Exodus chapter 12. A bone of the lamb should not be broken. Now again, just ask a question to yourself, dear believer. When did you first learn that? You probably can't remember. You probably just know it, right? Younger ones as well. What it is to sit beside an individual and have them stop you and say, but the Lord, none of his bones were broken. And you're saying that it was all the way back there in Exodus? That picture, the Lamb of God? Just a recognition of what it is to see the truth of the Word of God open up. Something there in the Old Testament in picture form. There, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There to recognize its truth there in the Gospels and to put it together. I trust we never lose the appreciation of what God has done. Stir our hearts to worship, no matter maybe how familiar it may come to us. Much more could be said, but I know time is gone. Just again, as the Lord wills for prayer, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, God that giveth the increase. And so working out in the gospel, teaching younger believers, building into the assemblies that are there, we ask for your prayer for each one. Wisdom in splitting our time, if that's even something that's possible to do. Recognizing the need for salvation. We look forward to gospel meetings, perhaps next year, as long as restrictions hold, are loosened. And we pray for these things. Just a few slides I'll run through very quickly. Friendships are important. Time spent with other believers. And there, Trina and the family are just spending time with some of the believers, some of the Gare Assembly on their vegetable farms. And it's time with individuals, time with people, time where the Word of God can be opened. Maybe not, but you're going to speak of the things of God. You're going to have friendships in the daily things of life. And so you move from the land to the sea. And again, Trina and the girls were out with some of the ladies, some of the sisters, went for a hike there. Titus and ourselves and with a young man from the Laguerre Assembly were out fishing. We fished all day and only caught two fish. Well, actually it was one fish, caught twice. And there wasn't much that day for fish. It wasn't even enough to take home to fry. And so it's time spent with individuals. Time spent in friendships. Building into each other. Building in outside of assembly meetings in the life of each one. For the children and their homeschooling, whether it's in the home, out on the balcony, out at the park, again, you're probably envious of it when you think of no green grass right now. You can think of us as they sweat in a few weeks' time. A number of months ago, if you may remember, the volcano in St. Vincent, which is 20 miles south of us, erupted. Well, not devastating for us, but very devastating for St. Vincent. We had ash that came over, and so it's not snow. That's actually ash that fell down on the vehicles and in the home, and that spent a few days of keeping on sweeping and sweeping and sweeping all of the ash and dust away at that time. Just before we left the hurricane season, we had an early hurricane, Hurricane Elsa. While it wasn't very strong, only a Category 1, you can see the damage that takes place to the banana fields and all of that. For that particular farmer, it's going to be 6 or 8 months before they're going to be able to regrow and have a crop again. And so the major impact on believers and individuals when hurricanes pass by. We do appreciate the beauty of God's creation and recognize the wonder of what he has done. As we think of St. Lucia, we trust again we'll recognize what God has done. I leave the challenge with you this afternoon. I trust it's been of benefit to you. Yes, information, some beautiful pictures, individuals to pray for. But the challenge really is to my soul and to yours today. The call of listening to the voice of God. The call of listening to what God desires, not only for me, but for you as well. We're saved. Thankful for that. He's brought us into the body, brought us into local assembly fellowship that we might work together. We might have a function. We might have a purpose. we might be there for his honor and for his glory. And God has uniquely fitted each one. We believe that, don't we? For a work that he has prepared them for. It's God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. May we recognize that for ourselves, to seek his presence, to hear him, and know what he would desire, and to do it in full dependence upon him. Because we want to be pleasing to him, do we not? We want to recognize him in our life. It's God who works. And so I trust it's been a profit to each one today. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate our time with you as we intend to return the will of the Lord next week. Again, trust it's been a benefit, a profit, for your own prayers, your own interest, to recognize that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Shall we pray?